I want Brother Durant Barr to come around. He pastors the Fairview Baptist Church here in the county, and they support camp meeting, and we appreciate that. Appreciate how the Lord blessed this young man, and he is a blessing. Appreciate his heart and his sensitivity. I want you to listen to him as he preaches to us what the Lord has given to him. Now you help him like you'd want somebody to help you. Amen. Don't just sit there and look at him. What if they'd done you that way? You wouldn't like that, would you? Help him. He'll preach better and you'll hear better. Amen. Preach to us about 30 minutes. I love you. They'll run.
I'll say it's good to be here this morning. I'm thankful for a place that I can worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and yet at the same time get help from my own life. I thought about this morning. Brother Steve had give me a call just to make sure schedules would align. And Tony Daniels said this on Monday about wires getting crossed. My wires don't get crossed if I get called on. My wires get crossed if I'm called to preach. And that's how I feel. I think it's just my nerves or something, just knowing what we're handling, the Word of God. And right as I got off the phone with him this morning, I was in my study, and I just got on my knees and began to pray. And, you know, I was convicted in my time of prayer, and this has nothing to do with the message this morning, but I was convicted in my time of prayer that many times I see in my own life, I call upon the Lord in times of intensity. I greatly seek the Lord in times of intensity, good or bad. The Holy Ghost has convicted my soul this morning. Why don't you do that every single day? We need him every single day, every single hour, not just in those times of intensity. We need the Lord. I'm appreciative that he's always there with us. I want you to take your copy of God's Word this morning. I want you to go with me to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter number 10. We are going to be looking at one of the seven I am statements that's found in this gospel. Before we read our text this morning, I know this may be a little bit different, but I want to take us on a journey. I want you to try your best to envision something with me this morning. Lord willing, this would open our hearts to hear the Word of God. I want you to envision with me for just a moment that you're in the Holy Land. You're in the Holy Land, and you have been walking around Jerusalem. You've been to the Sea of Galilee. You've experienced baptism by the Jordan. And you are walking through the fields where David tended his sheep many years ago. As you continue to walk through the Holy Land, as you envision this in your mind, you walk over a hillside. And what you see in the distance is a structure, a very large structure. Never seen nothing like this before. You hear people chatter, hear people start to talk a little bit that this is a sheepfold. I don't mean much to you. You never seen nothing like this before. You never seen anything look like this before. In curiosity, you continue to walk. Continue to walk towards this large structure. The walls are about 6 to 8 feet tall. And as you get there, you realize you cannot see over it. And the rocks are so tightly fit, you realize you cannot see within it. Curiosity continues to strike you. So as you envision this in your mind, you begin to walk around this structure. You walk. You walk some more. And you walk some more until finally you come to an opening in this structure. It looks like a doorway, but you're not too sure about that. You look on the ground and you see some hoof prints. More than likely, it was probably sheep that had been entering, coming in, and coming out of this sheepfold. In your mind, I want you to think to yourself that curiosity's still getting the best of you. You want to see what's within that sheepfold. So what you do? You go right to that doorway. And the moment you get to that doorway, there's somebody that meets you there. A tall, scrappy young fella. Muscular build. And you just simply say, "Sir, what is this?" And he responds and he says, "This is my sheepfold." Not understanding everything, you ask him again, "Well, what's the purpose of it?" This young fellow looks at you straight in the eye and he says, "This is where I bring my sheep. This is where I protect my sheep. No one gets to the sheep unless they come through me." And you look at him, still curiosity in your mind. You're wondering, well, how in the world does he protect them? You see the wall, you see the 6 to 8 feet, the rocks put together so tightly. But nonetheless, there is a hole right here. There is a doorway. And if anybody wanted to get through this doorway, it looks like they could. You say, "Sir, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but there's no physical door that's sitting here. There's no lock. There's no handle. What keeps anybody from coming in and out of this doorway?" About that time, his demeanor changes a little bit. And he looks you directly in the eye. And about that time, he starts to roll up his sleeves a little bit. And he says, "Son, I am the door. I am the door. And there is no one that gets into the sheepfold unless they come through me. And there is no one that's going to get to the sheep unless they come through me." And he looks to his arms and he says, "I've got the scars to prove it. I'll lay down my life for these sheep. I am the door." Friends, I want you to realize that your Savior, my Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, he made that statement. And we're getting ready to see it within the first 10 verses here of John chapter number 10. I often preach the I am statements of thinking that, especially this one, connecting to Jesus simply as being the only way to salvation. Friends, I'll tell you, he is the only way to salvation. But I also want you to realize when we see this I am statement, "I am the door," there's even more that we can draw from that. It gives us hope and encouragement this morning. I want you to hear the word of our Lord here this morning, beginning in verse number 1. If you're willing and able, you can stand with me. John chapter 10 and verse number 1. These are the words of our God. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door and into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Do you know his voice this morning? The word of God says in verse number 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." The Bible says in verse number 6, they still just ain't getting it. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." I love it when the Lord just clears it up for you. Notice verse number 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy." Notice this promise: "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning. God, we thank you most of all for the blood shed on Calvary. God, we thank you for the sacrifice that was paid that we couldn't do ourselves. And God, I thank you so much, Lord, that you allow us the privilege and the ability to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, right now, I need grace. I need grace to be able to preach. These folks need grace to be able to listen. But ultimately, we pray that you combine those two for your glory and, God, for your honor. Whatever it's said and done, we'd make sure we be very careful to give you the praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray here this morning. All God's people do say, amen. Amen. I appreciate you standing here this morning. Whether you realize it or not, the longer that you spend with someone, the more likely you are to be able to finish their sentences. The longer you are to be married to your bride, the more likely you are to finish their sentences. It was a couple years ago, there was a married couple. They've been married for 70 years, and they were asked the question, why is it that you are still happily married after 70 long years? The bride looked at her husband and grabbed his hand, and she said these words, I'm thankful that he allows me to finish his sentences. About that time, the husband got his cane, and he began to walk to the kitchen a little bit, and you could tell his demeanor had changed. He looked upset in his face, and they was just wondering what's going on, so they followed him into the kitchen. And they seen that he was opening the refrigerator door, and he was just not happy. So they said, sir, what's going on? What's wrong? And he said, what's wrong? What's she just said? He said, I've always loved her to hold my hand. I've always loved her to kiss me goodnight. But I have never wanted her to finish my sandwiches. And I put one in here last night, and I just want to make sure that she did not do that. Friends, I make you mindful here this morning very, very clearly. You cannot finish someone's sandwiches. That's fighting grounds. Someone, you will finish someone's sentences. In the book of Exodus, our Heavenly Father gave a man by the name of Moses a very clear command. The command that he had gave him on the backside of the desert was to go to my people and to deliver a message unto them. Moses, in his mind, he asked God, he said, well, if I go back to those people, who am I to tell them that sent me? And we all know what the Father responded back to Moses. He just simply said, you tell them I am that I am has sent you. Moses, being like us, sometimes it's just not clear. It don't connect the best. He still didn't understand, so God made it even clearer for him in two words. He said, you just simply tell them, I am has sent you. Many times when we preach that and teach that I am statement in the book of Exodus, we do so as if it is an unfinished sentence. I am who? I am what? I am where? I am fill in the blank. Friends, I hope you realize here this morning, in your walk with the Lord Christ, you can fill in that blank with whatever. Because our God, He is every single thing that we need. Amen. But that connects to our text this morning. You may think that is an unfinished sentence. But 1,400 years later, roughly, 1,400 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ comes onto the scene and he finishes the Father's I am sentence. He finishes the Father's I am statement. We realize the Lord Jesus come as the revelation of God in person. The Lord Jesus comes so that we too can go to the Father. In the Gospel of John, there are seven. There's seven clear ways that we see Jesus finish the Father's I am sentence. We're looking at the third one here this morning. I am the door. I am the door. Now, there's a lot to unpack within this I am statement. What I'm going to try my best to do for time's sake is to unpack it, how they would receive it as hearers, but also how we should receive it as hearers. First, as you look back in the first couple verses of chapter number 10, Jesus is giving them a parable about a sheepfold. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. He's trying to explain to them about a sheepfold, how these sheep have freedom to go in and to go out. Ultimately, because the glorious pasture that the Lord provides. But the Bible says in verse number 6, they understood not what things which he spake unto them. You notice in verse number 7 what happens. Verse number 7, he finishes the Father's sentence, but Christ kind of just takes a pause for just a moment. And as he takes this pause, what he does, he looks beyond Calvary. He looks beyond his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And he tells these boys, there's no way that you're going to get to the Father unless you come through me. And guess what? There's nobody else that's going to get to you unless they come through me. And I have defeated your enemy. So what does that mean to us here this morning? There's three things I think we quickly can take from this. I want you to go back to verse number 7. Go back to verse number 7 and 8. And when Jesus says this I am statement, I am the door, realize that this is a door that provides protection. It's a door that provides protection. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Many of you in here this morning probably grew up in a day and time where you never locked your doors. You may never even close your door. Just simply had the screen door and the screen up, and you could hear the birds chirping, you could hear the outside. I probably could count on my hand, on one hand, how many times my grandma and grandpa ultimately locked their doors. They just never locked the doors. You say, well, where'd you live? I lived in Stony Point. And there's a lot of people who make fun of Stony Point. But guess what? They just didn't. They didn't lock their doors. I dare say today, most of us in here, we lock our doors. You leave to go to Walmart, you lock your doors. Most of us probably got our doors locked in the parking lot right now. Why is that? It's because culture's changed, ultimately. It's because there's a sense that we don't feel as safe as we once did. Amen. Jesus Christ ultimately says to these folks, I am your protection. Amen. I'm not telling you not to lock your doors by no means, but I want you to realize for a child of God, you find all of your protection in an almighty God. Amen. God is your protector. In this text, when he says, I am the door, we see the fact that he's protecting us. But what's he protecting us from? You got to ask that question. Two things that you see right here. First, he's protecting us from the enemy. Now, verse number 8 clearly shows us that. But I want to remind you what 1 Peter 5 in verse 8 tells us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. And he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus right here stands at the door and then he says, this enemy, might I say your greatest enemy, he's not going to be able to fully get to you. The reason he cannot get fully to you is because he's fully got to go through Christ. But I want you to understand the enemy still does attack us. It seems like inevitable when you're trying to do something for the Lord, the enemy still does attack you. And we realize Paul made this statement, we're troubled on every side, but yet we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Our Savior protects us from the enemy, but he also protects us from the elements. I want you to realize that these sheep weren't smart. That they weren't smart individuals. They couldn't see the rainstorm coming. They couldn't see the sandstorm coming. They couldn't see the snow that was coming. They didn't have the Weather Channel or Channel 9 News or anything like that. They couldn't see the storm that was coming at them. But when Jesus stands in this doorway, the Master could see it for him. The Master looked out and could see the elements that was coming towards them. I don't know how ministry is for you preachers in here. I know how it is for me. There are seasons and there's times it feels like it's a wave. Where it feels like there's multiple things that's happening at one time. And I thought back as I went back over this text this morning, even in our own church over the last couple months, we've had multiple bereavements. We've had multiple major surgeries. And if I think back to last year's time, there's no way that I would have seen that. Same thing with you. In your ministry season, you don't see these. But guess what? Jesus Christ does. Your protector sees these elements that's going to come at you. And when he stands there and says, I am the door, you can trust in him. The first thing we can take from this text, when he says, I am the door, we can see that he's our protection. But if you notice in verse number 9, he provides us a purpose. I'm thankful thankful for the purpose that he provides. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Probably one of the clearest and cloudiest verses in regards to salvation that you find in the entire Bible. It should be crystal clear, but some people try to make it cloudy. I want to explain what I'm talking about. First, you see the clear reason of salvation. He says, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. To be saved, you've got to enter through the door. And might I say it's not a door of baptism. It's not a door of church membership. It's not a door of giving to this charity or giving at this time. Friends, it is the only door to salvation. It is Jesus. He's the only way that any man can have forgiveness of their sins. He is the door of salvation. That's the clear way. Here's the way people try to make it cloudy at the end of that verse. It says, and shall go in and out. Go in and out. Some group of people that want to try to make this cloudy because they think when you're in the sheepfold, you're saved. But when you go back out the sheepfold, you lost again. This is the simplest way I can say it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. I mean, there's nothing else I can say any better than that. Once you're in the sheepfold, you're always in the sheepfold. You say, well, preacher, what does he mean by that? What he means by that is you can find your purpose. You can find your purpose. Might I say it to you like this? When God saved you with a purpose in mind. Each and every one of us in here, no matter if you've been saved 5 months or 50 years, God saved you with a purpose in mind. And the purpose is not simply to come into the sheepfold and to sit there and be fat and happy. Our purpose is to come into the sheepfold, yes, find nutrition, yes, be around other brothers and sisters of Christ, but also to go back out. It's to go back out the sheepfold. Because within that purpose, your purpose may be at your job place. I mean, it may be at the local Walmart. You don't know what your purpose is ultimately until you seek the Lord. There's a lost world out there today. Men and women that are trying to find their purpose in life. We realize God puts a void in your soul, and that void can only be filled through Jesus. But nonetheless, there's people out there today that are trying to find their purpose. Can I say it like this? The only way you're going to find your purpose is first to accept Jesus as Savior. There's no other way to try to find a purpose in life. The only way to find your purpose is to know Jesus as your Savior. This verse right here shows us two things. These verses show us the fact whenever he says, I am the door, it provides protection. It provides a purpose. One last thing and I'm done here this morning. Notice verse number 10. It provides a promise. And oh, what a promise it is. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Here's this promise. I am come. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the door. It provides us a promise. Abundant life is something that man desperately strives for, but yet never can fully achieve on their own. It only comes through relationship with Christ. You may think I'm crazy what I'm about to tell you, but I truly believe this with my whole heart. I believe that no man will ever be able to fully, and I said the word fully, fully understand and appreciate abundant life until they're in glory. I didn't say you couldn't experience it. You can experience it. But you're never going to be able to fully appreciate it. Fully appreciate abundant life until you see your Savior's nail-scarred hand. Until you put your crayons at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that moment in fullness, you will be able to appreciate abundant life. Why is that? Many times we try to attach abundant life to worldly expectations. We think that this is abundant life or that is abundant life. Friends, abundant life is knowing Jesus as Savior, knowing where you're going, and thankful for the good grace that He gives us along the way. And I am thankful for that. I close by asking you, as Jesus says, I am the door, I ask you, is He your door? Is He your door here this morning? If He is, He provides you protection. If He is, He provides you a purpose. And praise God, He left you with a great promise, a promise you can hold to.
If you appreciate that preaching, say amen. I mean, that's just as clear as May morning, going in and out of the sheepfold. I mean, the shepherd, the sheep still belong to the shepherd, whether they're in the sheepfold or whether they're out in the pasture. They still belong to Him. He's still looking after them, still taking care of them. He's protecting them from the wolves and the wild beasts. I say hallelujah. I'm glad He's the door. Ain't nobody going to get in while He's there. Amen. He don't ever sleep. He don't ever abandon His post of duty. I praise the name of God for that.